Let's have the Lord in prayer once again, shall we? Father, I pray that as we turn now to your word, you would have our attention. I pray that you would have our hearts, and that we would listen to what you have for us, and that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of you. Pray you get the glory in the remaining portion of the service. We want the whole evening to be pleasing in your sight. In your name, I pray. To get this off just a little bit, I'm having a hard time keeping it from blowing my pages on the Bible. All right. Andrew, you like titles on those discs, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Let's call this one, It Pays to Listen. It pays to listen. How important is it that especially a child listen to the godly advice of their parents? Important or not important?
Important.
It is important. How important is it that a child listen to their parents? Period. Yeah, that's important, isn't it? I'm sure no parent ever struggled with having their children listen to them. Right? Wrong. Well, I want us this evening to take a look at one of the Proverbs, and I want us to see some things that I trust will be a blessing as we again continue on this Father's Day this evening. And I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4. You know the book of Proverbs is one of my daily reading sources. Any day that I am working in my office, and I've been doing this for years, always find beneficial material in there. It never grows old. And what I would like us to see, what I want us to look this evening for you note takers, we're only going to have 2 points this evening, and then we can go home. How's that sound? Huh? Only 2. And sometimes I have a lot of points, but tonight it's only 2. So, point number 1, I would like us to notice as we look at Solomon's writings here, in verses 3-9, we see that he valued the instruction of his father. That's point number 1. Solomon valued the instruction of his father. Let's look at verses 3-9. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. What do you have to say? Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. standing. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. As we think of this, we realize that as Solomon is writing this down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he did value what his father had taught him. Who was Solomon's father? David. Rather than ridiculing what David, his father, stood for, he treasured the words to walk in God's ways. Where did Solomon hear that? Well, there were a couple of times that he heard godly instruction of his father, and one of those times I'd like to refer to as publicly. There was a time when David publicly challenged his son to heed God's word. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 28:9. 1 Chronicles 28:9. In the chapter, or in verse 1, David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, captains over the hundreds, stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. That's quite a gathering, isn't it? David, the king, stood upon his feet and he said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people." And he tells a testimony of how here in verse 2, he had it in his heart to build a house for the rest of the Ark of the Covenant and for the footstool of our God. He wanted to make a permanent place of worship and honor for the Lord. At this time, what did they have as a people? They had that tabernacle, which was mobile, they could take it down, move it somewhere else, re-erect it. And David was longing for the name of the Lord to be permanently located in one city with a permanent building that could bring honor and glory to the Lord. And he said, it was in my heart. I wanted to do that. But God in verse 3 said, "Thou shalt not build me an house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel. He hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel." David said he would not let me build him a place of worship because my hands had, they were stained with the blood of war on them, But he did choose me from my father's house and all of my brothers to be the king over Judah. And of all my sons, remember, like even we mentioned this morning, David, it was culturally accepted, it was socially accepted. He did not just have one wife. It was common for kings back then to have multiple wives, and David was no different. And because of that, this little portion in parenthesis, and of my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he told me, Solomon is the one that's going to build this house. I'm going to establish his kingdom forever if, verse 7, he be constant to do my commandments as at this day. So he said, now therefore Israel, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of God, and the audience of our God, keep and seek all the commandments, that you might possess the good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you. Verse 9. And you, Solomon, my son. Remember, what was the context of this? To whom was David speaking here? He had called all of these leaders of the nation of Israel together. This was a public speech that was being made. And thou, Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And so as we think of, back to Proverbs chapter 4, the instruction that Solomon valued, which had come from his father, when he said, I was my father's son, only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me, he said unto me, verse 4 of Proverbs 4, let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. He said that same thing here publicly, there in that ninth verse, when he said, know the Lord, serve him with a perfect heart, willing mind. He searches all hearts. If you seek him, you'll find him. If you forsake him, he'll cast you off. So, where did, as we think about, when did Solomon hear these words that he had valued and referred to in Proverbs chapter 4, our text this evening, when he says, you know, it pays to listen to what your father said. He could have been thinking to the time when his dad had spoken it to him publicly and encouraged him to heed not only his father's words, but his father's words, which had directed him to serve the Lord and heed what God says. But if we go back to 1 Kings chapter 2, it seems as though this is a private time when Solomon had heard the charge of his father instructing him to pay attention to the words I have given you, son. 1 Kings 2, 1 through 3. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged or gave orders to Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge or the orders of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all you do and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. And so we see here, on this occasion, it seems as though these words were spoken privately to him as David was nearing the end of his life. And as I mentioned a while ago, rather than ridiculing what his father stood for, he treasured those words, walk in God's ways, that he had heard from David, his father. So, as we think of Proverbs 4, verses 3 through 9, he had written and given us the idea that he had valued that instruction that he had heard from his father. But we change courses, and we notice in verses 1 and 2 and verses 10 through 13, the subject changes. The emphasis is different. What do we see here? Secondly, we see that the instruction of a godly father now is, number two, echoed in the instruction as a father. First, he had referred to what his father had taught him. But now we see Solomon echoing those same truths that he had heard from his father, but here in these verses, he now is wanting to teach them to his children. Notice, he is passing on similar truth. Look at verses 1 and 2. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you go, thy steps shall not be straitened or hindered. And when you run, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold or firm grip of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Doesn't that sound like what he had heard from David, his father? Look at verse 5. Get wisdom. This is what verse 5, I was my father's son, only tender, only beloved in the sight of my mother. And he taught me and said, verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Verse 6, forsake her not. She shall preserve thee, love thee, and she shall keep her. Now, as a father, look at what he is saying here in verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, for she is thy life. And as we look at this, we notice, as we look elsewhere, you can't help but notice, first of all, Solomon's visible concern for his children. If you've ever gone through the Proverbs, you can't help but notice, proverb after proverb, Solomon makes reference to my son, my son, my son. It's visible in his writings how concerned he is that the truth on his heart he wants to convey to his children. Just as we saw in verses 3 through 9, his own father, David, had conveyed important truth to him. You say, well, what's the point? It's an important feature as far as, and it's an important responsibility as far as a father. One of the things that ought to be on a father's heart is teaching, instructing their children in right ways, in truth, in the ways of the Lord. It ought to be one of the concerns of a parent that as they are bringing up their children, that they are impressing upon their children the importance of serving the Lord with all your heart, knowing the Lord, obeying the Lord, getting to know Him, grow in the things of the Lord, grow closer to the Lord. Value the word of the Lord and what it teaches us. Solomon heard from David, his father, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she'll preserve thee. Love her, she'll keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom, get understanding, exalt her, she'll promote thee, she'll bring thee to honor. Why, she'll be an ornament of grace to you, she'll be a crown on your head. Solomon listened to that. And as you read through the Proverbs, and even as we look here in this one, he is conveying to his own children the importance of his children understanding that what I am teaching you is important for you to embrace and to live and to hold on to and make it a part of your life. As we think of the how that Solomon was echoing the instruction that he had heard from his father to his own children, we saw the visible concern if you look at references in Proverbs. But each, as we look at these, just like even here in this one before us, he shows the valuable benefits of listening to what he has to say. But here I go, for instance, just to the next proverb, chapter 5. my son. Attend to my wisdom. Bow thine ear to my understanding, that you might regard discretion, and that your lips might keep knowledge. Value. Look at verse 6, chapter 6. My son, if you be surety for thy friend, what's that? What does it mean to be surety for someone? What do we call that? Co-signing. Well, everybody does it, right? No. He says, my son, if you're surety for your friend, if you shake hands on it with a stranger, you're snared with the words of your mouth. You're taken with the words of your mouth. And here's what you need to do. And he said, deliver yourself when you come into the hand of your friend. Go humble yourself. And make sure thy neighbor give not sleep to your eyes nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself as a deer or a roe from the hand of the hunter, as a bird from the hand of the fowler. What was the valuable benefit that the father was giving the son regarding something in the realm of life such as co-signing? What was Solomon's advice to his son? Get away, get out of it. Humble yourself. Tell your friend, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have. I got to get out. I can't remain in this. As we think of this, chapter 7, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Pay attention to what I've said. And my commandments. Keep my commandments and live. And my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom. Remember the importance of wisdom back in chapter 4, our text this evening. He was encouraging his son to make wisdom and understanding a priority. Say unto wisdom, verse 4 of chapter 7, you're my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman or your close friend. Why? That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger with which flattereth with her words. What is he saying here? Son, if you will heed what I say, it will keep you from getting yourself entangled with an immoral woman. Pay attention to the words that I have taught you. And he here gives the illustration. From my window, I observed, and here was a young man like a fool, that he was void of understanding, verse 7. And he talks about how this young man who was out on the street, didn't pay attention to what he was doing, got entrapped by an immoral woman, and his life was destroyed. We could go on. But I think we understand here. As we look at these instructions that we have seen, that Solomon is encouraging his own children to heed, as he started out by relating to us how he appreciated what his father had taught him. In chapter 4, he says, I want to teach you. And we saw in chapter 5, 6, and 7, just some quick examples how that, my son, if you would just simply heed what I say. These instructions translate really into, son, you need to live by the Word of God. You need to live by the Word of God. The most important thing that anyone can do to be advised by a parent to do so is some of the most treasured advice ever given to their children. As we think of this and as we bring this to a close, thinking again, it pays to listen. Who have you listened to? What have you shared with others that you love as you have invested your life in them? Are you encouraging them like Solomon was encouraged by David, his father, to live by the Word of God? How important it is for a parent today to give that same godly advice to their children. Live by God's Word. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Let's stand and close. Father, we take a quick look at just some of the writings of Solomon, and we know that Solomon received wisdom from you, wisdom that no one else had ever had. And in those early years of his life, he demonstrated that wisdom. How sad it is that as his life went on, it's almost like he failed to heed his own words. But I pray that even as we've been reminded this evening of to look back, we heard a testimony of thankfulness for godly fathers. We who have that as our heritage, how thankful we can be for the instruction we receive from godly parents. And I pray, Lord, that we have been faithful in conveying that same godly advice and instruction and counsel to our own children, grandchildren. I pray that this portion would be a blessing to our hearts as we go our way. Use us this week for your purposes. We thank you in your name.